Welcome back to Inside Agriculture, Monday morning, dozenth day of the month of May. And coming up later this morning, another monthly WASDE report from USDA. Ahead of that, on AgriTalk, we'll try to figure out what USDA might say that obviously will affect the markets. But last Friday afternoon on AgriTalk, one of my favorite market analysts, Sean Hackett, talked about the weather and the research he has done, which may or may not prove what might happen this summer.
Well, we've had 5 years, and even last year's crops were below trend, even though everyone said there was these huge crops, and they were, we still were below trend, believe it or not, despite the weather that we had. So yep. The last 5 years, what's happened is we've had drought before July, we've had drought after July, but we've been able to develop good July weather, or sufficiently good enough July weather, to keep crops from tumbling more than modestly below trend. Mm-hmm. We think our research thinks that this year we're going to finally see the dry weather focused on the month of July versus before July or after July. That doesn't mean a major crop problem. Two components to a major crop problem, Chip, is hot, and I don't mean 90 degrees. Right. I mean 95, 100 or more, and dry in July. We have not had that combination since 2012. I do not believe we're going to see the extreme heat. I think we can have above normal temperatures like 90 and such, but I think we're going to be dry and only modestly hot, which still says to me that we're looking at crops below trend, but not a major crop problem, unless I'm wrong about that. The Euro did come out this week, the seasonal Euro, which looks out over the whole growing season, and they did project an extremely hot July. I happen to disagree with the Euro model,
okay,
but it's out there. Look at the models, and if that forecast is correct, then we would have something much more sinister. But I do not see that kind of heat coming in July, but I do see the dry weather. There's two primary templates that you need to have a hot July in the middle of the country where it counts. You neither have to have very, very hot North Atlantic and North Pacific sea surface temperatures, or you have to have extremely cold sea surface temperatures off the coast of California and off the southwest coast of North America. One of those two templates has been involved in every major crop problem that has had a very extreme high heat level in the month of July. Right now, we don't have extreme heat in those northern sea surface temperature areas, and we don't have extreme cold in those key sea surface temperature areas. It doesn't mean it's not a little warm up there. It is, but it's not warm enough. It doesn't mean it's not cold in those other areas. It is, but it's just not extreme enough to create a 95 to 100 degree type temperatures that's really required for at least 10 days in the growing middle of the growing season to knock the crop down. That can change, but we have about 1 month for that to change. By mid-June, whatever they are, that sets the template for July, and we need to change those sea surface temperatures in a hurry if we're going to back off from our view that we're not going to have a super hot July. We're looking at ENSO neutral, but ENSO neutral is fine. 2012 was ENSO neutral.
Okay.
So it's more about those North Pacific, North Atlantic, and coastal waters that we're watching for the heat component. I'm fine with ENSO. It's those other ones that I'm worried about.
Sean Hackett of Hackett Financial Services had a lot to say last Friday afternoon on AgriTalk. After we check the short-term weather forecast, we'll hear again some of his research that goes back 1,100 years. Climate data that may or may not prove what might happen this summer, although probably will. All right, let's get the forecast now on Inside Agriculture.